I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest tonight is Dr. Ellen Kami, registered nurse, the natural nurse who has been involved in natural medicine since 1973 when she directed a program in ethnobotany at Cochise College in Douglas, Arizona. She attended Rutgers and Cornell universities, sat on the panel of traditional medicine at Columbia Presbyterian Medical School, and is a clinical instructor at Stony Brook Medical School and at New York Chiropractic College, where she teaches botanical pharmacology. She was nominated for the March of Dimes Woman of Distinction in 2004 and received the J.G. Gallimore Award for Research in Science. Dr. Kami is a professional member of the American Herbalist Guild, is nationally board certified as a holistic nurse, and works to bring together a body of ancient and modern practices and philosophies that use less invasive, less toxic, natural techniques to enhance wellness. Along with Dr. Eugene Zamperon, a naturopathic physician, Ellen heads natural alternative health education and multimedia services and leads eco tours. Dr. Kami is the author of Cycles of Life, Herbs for Women, The Natural Guide to Great Sex, Weight Loss, the Alternative Medicine Definitive Guide in 2007, and co-author with Dr. Zamperon of The Natural Medicine Chest and Arthritis, the Alternative Medicine Definitive Guide in 1999 and revised in 2006. She is often quoted in numerous print media, including Marie Claire, Latina, Self, Woman's World, National Enquirer, Cosmopolitan, and Glamour. She also appears daily on radio and TV. She is available for organizations and private conversation at 1-800-829-0918 or www.naturalnurse.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Ellen, and I look forward to hearing about natural ways to deal with arthritis. What are some of the causes of arthritis?
Well, that's an interesting question. And in my book, Arthritis, the Alternative Medicine Guide, we discuss this in great depth because what modern science talks about, if we talk about conventional medicine or allopathic medicine, they will often say that arthritis is genetic or that they actually are not sure what the cause is. However, when we look at natural healing, such as naturopathic medicine, and the saying that's used so often in naturopathic medicine is called tole causum, which means find the cause. In fact, that is the first premise, because if we can find the cause, we can institute a cure. Cure is another dirty word in conventional medicine, it seems. But we do know, when we look at the natural health model of arthritis, that we very much do understand the causes, the deep causes of arthritis. Number one is the buildup of toxic waste products within the tissues. That is something that initiates an inflammatory response. Another one is a decrease in the integrity of the lining in the gastrointestinal tract. Mm-hmm. And that is an extremely interesting one. It's also known in more common vernacular as leaky gut syndrome. But one of the very interesting problems with the decrease in integrity of the lining of the gastrointestinal tract or leaky gut syndrome is the fact that the drugs, the pharmaceutical agents that are used in conventional treatment of various kinds of arthritic conditions actually increases the severity of the breakdown of the gastrointestinal lining. Mm-hmm. And because of that, it actually increases the overall disease process, even though it might mitigate the pain short term.
Mm-hmm.
Another well-known cause, which is not deeply investigated in conventional medicine, is the overabundance of disease-causing microorganisms. These might be viruses or, in many cases, actual worms or other kinds of parasites that get into the body through the digestive system. They can get in many ways. And modern medicine does not give enough credit, credence, or investigation into parasites and other kinds of infestations. Even though right now we're living in what might be considered a small world, where so many people live in the United States who have come from other indigenous cultures, and they may carry in with them certain parasitic organisms that don't make them sick. The reason that doesn't make them sick is they have been living with these same organisms for so many, maybe centuries, and so they've developed a natural immunity. But when these things become preeminent in someone's system who is not used to them, they can become something that initiates an inflammatory response. And in fact, in my own practice, we've been dealing with various kinds of arthritides in my practice for over 36 years. We have actually done TAPS, where you put needles in and do sort of a needle, it's not a biopsy, but you pull fluid out of various kinds of joint tissues, and we are able to see invading microorganisms in many cases. So that's another major cause that should be investigated by anyone who has any kind of joint pain. Another problem is decreased circulation to the various areas. And that comes because once a painful inflammatory response has been initiated, very often people will not tend to use those areas. So that actually, again, becomes a self-fulfilling, increasing problem in terms of increasing joint breakdown. So those are some of the I would say, causative factors that are not well enough valued in conventional medicine.
Now, do you see psychological stress as playing a role in arthritis?
Oh, of course. In fact, psychological stress is part of every single illness known to man, and there are many physicians who believe, like Dr. Bach, who is a very famous physician. He's known as Dr. Bach, or also he's actually called Dr. Bache in the UK, and he created the Bach Flower Remedies, which address the psychological implications of every illness. But in our book, The Arthritis, the Alternative Medicine Guide, we have an entire chapter just on mind-body. And we find that very often stress is a common part of the preeminent cause. For instance, people will notice that after a stressful event, such as a divorce or the death of a loved one, that's when they started to find that they were having joint pain. In fact, I have often seen people when they retire. Retiring sounds like a lot of fun, but it actually is a stressful event in life many times, because sometimes people are lost in terms of what is their purpose in life, and they also just feel like they're moving towards the end of life. And although it seems like a wonderful thing, it can actually cause a lot of stress on the system. Now, there was a stress researcher. His name is Hans Selye, and he was a Canadian psychologist. And he also noted a consistent pattern of response to stress, and he called this the general adaptation syndrome. Well, it's also known as the fight or flight response. And there's actually three stages to this response: the alarm reaction, the resistance, and exhaustion. And very often when people just sort of ignore these stressors, what happens is that their adrenal glands will get, we'll say, worn out, and cortisol secretion as well as the adrenal glands, other steroids such as DHEA. People have heard of DHEA,
mm-hmm.
adrenaline, aldosterone, and these things occur in daily cycles. Cortisol itself promotes protein building, and it regulates insulin and glycogen synthesis and helps to produce prostaglandins. Now, prostaglandins are specifically linked to the inflammatory process. And under conditions of high stress, high amounts of cortisol are released, so imbalances in the cortisol secretion are linked with ongoing deregulation of the balance of the body, and that's going to lead to low energy, inflammation, muscle dysfunction, impaired bone repair, thyroid dysfunction, immune system depression, sleep disorder. All of this can happen because of too much stress.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's also interesting to note that there is a specific arthritis personality. We have seen that, and there's actually been studies done on that. For instance, human behavioral patterns are commonly broken down into personality types, such as type A personality and type B personality. And type A personalities may be more aggressive and competitive, while type Bs do not exhibit these characteristics. But what we found that since the 1960s, this is not new, Carl. This
mm-hmm.
is well-researched.
Right.
Studies began to show that personality types can have a profound influence on our health. So, you know, if you look at the fact that you might be stressed out, you can look at the fact that that is going to increase your overall inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And we know scientifically exactly how that happens.
Mm-hmm. Then, Alan, some people tell me they got arthritis because their body was too acidic, and when they used alkalizing minerals, the symptoms cleared up.
Yes.
Have you found this to be true?
Oh, absolutely. You know, that whole story of acid-alkaline balance is a very interesting one because, for instance, how does the body maintain acid-alkaline balance? Well, the body attempts to keep all the body fluids in acid-alkaline balance by drawing on what we call alkaline reserves to offset that extra acid that might be in the system. But let's backtrack a little bit and talk about what does that mean, acid and alkaline.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, there is a term called pH. And what pH actually stands for, Carl, is potential hydrogen. Not everyone knows that.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard the term pH, but pH actually means potential hydrogen. It represents a scale for the relative acidity or alkalinity of a solution. And acidity is measured when the pH is between 1, or let's say 0, and 7. And alkalinity is when the scale measures between 7 and 14. But these numbers actually refer to how many hydrogen atoms are present compared to an ideal or standard solution. Different areas of our body naturally tend to have different acidity levels. For instance, the stomach has to be fairly acidic because in order for digestive enzymes to work correctly, we have to have a high level of acidity for most of them to be able to function to break down food correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So the body walls off the acid. You've probably heard, and our listeners have probably heard, of something called hydrochloric acid,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, hydrochloric acid is acidic, and it's necessary in order for digestive enzymes to work, but that's in the stomach. Now, the blood has to be slightly alkaline, so it's going to range normally between about 7.35 to 7.45, while urine tends to be more acidic. So I'm just pointing out
mm-hmm.
that this is a complex problem. It's
right.
not just a simple
right.
problem. People can actually measure their own pH with pH testing tape. That's one way to do it, although a blood level pH is much more accurate, but everybody doesn't have access to
mm-hmm.
Taking their blood level at home. However, in terms of arthritis, when we look at acid-alkaline balance, the body has built-in controls that try to keep that pH at an optimum level, and it does that by maintaining the correct balance between acid-forming ions, which happen to be positively charged, and alkaline-forming ions, which are negatively charged. If the acid-alkaline balance is thrown off, it can initiate a health of host, a whole bunch of different kinds of health issues can be affected. For instance, heart health, developing obesity, developing cancer, looking at blood sugar balance, which can lead to everything from hypoglycemia to what's called the metabolic syndrome to, of course, the great increase in diabetes, kidney and bladder health, how well your immune system functions, how much you're aging on a daily level due to free radical damage, bone health and osteoporosis, as well as osteoarthritis, and joint health, which is, of course, our description that we're talking about today. So all of these are affected by the pH. Now, the issue is that how do we get out of balance? Well, different life situations can cause the body to become out of balance in terms of acidity and alkalinity. Most often, the body becomes too acidic due to incorrect lifestyle choices. So who's in charge of that? Not the government. You are. When I mean you, I mean me. I mean you. I mean every listener. It's about self-determination. And how do we do that? By looking at what are we putting in our minds and what are we putting in our mouth. Those are the two things that we have total control over. So if we have high levels of stress and worry, this increases acidity. And of course, you know, there are things that happen. I'll share with you something that happened to me today. I woke up this morning and we went outside and my husband happened to say, "Boy, did you put a chair under our bedroom window?" I said, "No." And he looked around in the yard, and sure enough, someone last night, it must have been 3 in the morning, came around and unscrewed our safety lights outside, unscrewed them, because they unscrewed them and put them on the floor, and moved chairs around in the backyard, and they put one right under our bedroom window. Now, why I'm saying that is just to point out that nobody's life is free of stress.
Right.
But it has to do with how we react to stress. That's important. Now, someone else might completely, you know, freak out and get heart palpitations from that. What I did is I said, "Well, this is not a good thing." We immediately went to Home Depot. We bought new lights that go much higher and that go on and off automatically so that nobody can unscrew them. You know, we started looking into getting a fence and a dog. In other words, taking proactive action.
Right.
Instead of feeling helpless and worried. And also, in terms of an immediate response, I just sat down and did deep breathing. I did about 15 minutes of yoga. I did some leg lifts. I took a walk. I took the morning off from work. You know, so there are ways to deal with the fact that life is always hitting us with stress. So
right.
We do need to be aware of our reaction to these things. Now, in terms of food, it's very well documented in terms of which foods will cause more acid in the system, which will cause inflammation and will increase the likelihood of getting arthritis. So some of these foods include sugar, artificial sweeteners, alcohol, coffee, meat, fried foods, processed foods, junk foods, and dairy products. As a matter of fact, soft drinks are one of the worst offenders because they cause leaching from your bones of minerals. Now, why would it cause that? Because once a food increases the body's acidity, the body in its great natural wisdom tries to offset that acidity by bringing in things that are more alkaline. And how it does that is by looking around to where it can find minerals. And where can it find minerals? Well, it can find them in your bones and body tissues. So it will actually leach those minerals out to try to decrease the acidity. We can greatly help the body by increasing our consumption or sticking with all alkaline-forming foods.
Mm-hmm.
And these would be water instead of soda or pop, whatever area of the country they call
mm-hmm.
that stuff, different
right.
things.
Right.
I don't touch it, truthfully. Water, fruits, vegetables, especially dark green leafy vegetables like spinach and kale in particular. Kale is one of the best vegetables that you can eat. And in my arthritis book, it is full of recipes for making anti-inflammatory foods.
Mm-hmm.
Sea vegetables are also very alkaline, things like spirulina, kelp, and nori. Your listeners might recognize nori as the things that we roll up in the Japanese sushi rolls, which you can have even a vegetarian roll, and it's got little seaweed on the outside. That's a
mm-hmm.
nori roll.
Mm-hmm.
Much better to use than bread. And many other kinds of foods are alkaline. Now, baking soda is extremely alkaline. In fact, one of the therapies that I give to every single patient, and which I do myself every day, is take just a half a teaspoon of baking soda and mix it into water. And that brings down your acidity, and you can do that first thing in the morning. Now, it's interesting because all of this is kind of old-fashioned
right,
natural
right,
knowledge.
Right.
But I will tell you a brand new scientific study that came out this month. We're talking about September 2009, Carl.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a study that was in the journal Current Opinion in Drug Discovery and Development. I review studies every day, and I always like to pull studies from mainstream medical literature. That's because I am a professor at a medical school.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm teaching to physicians, we can't just talk about traditional knowledge and things that have been used effectively by naturopathic physicians or natural healers for even thousands of years. This is what we call traditional medicine. But when we're speaking to conventional physicians, we need to talk in terms of evidence-based studies.
Right.
Well, there is a study that came out, as I said, this month, September 2009, in Current Opinion in Drug Discovery and Development, and this study is called Acid-Sensing Ion Channels,
mm-hmm.
a New Target for Pain and CNS Disease,
mm-hmm.
that's Central Nervous System
mm-hmm.
Disease. And this study concludes that a low pH means too much acid. If you recall, we discussed acidity being between 1 and 7. So this same study says that a low pH, too much acid in tissue, can evoke pain in animals and humans,
mm-hmm.
and is also implicated in psychiatric and neurological diseases.
Mm-hmm.
How clear is that?
Mm-hmm.
So everything that we say in natural medicine is based on both thousands of years or hundreds of years of efficacy and safety, and is now being confirmed by evidence-based scientific studies.
Mm-hmm.
So this is certainly one of the preeminent ways to avoid getting arthritis and to stop it if you have it already.
Right. Now, one of the things that I have read that is very good for helping to become more alkaline is lemon.
Yes, and that's interesting. As a matter of fact, foods that tend to make the body become more alkaline or acidic, it's very interesting
mm-hmm.
to note that sometimes
right.
a food that is acidic,
mm-hmm.
just like what you said, lemons
mm-hmm.
is a great example,
mm-hmm.
actually causes the body fluids to become more alkaline.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not always what you think.
Right.
For instance, animal-based products may be alkaline when you test
mm-hmm.
them before they're ingested,
mm-hmm.
but they increase the overall acidity of the body once they are ingested.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not always
right.
just so easy to figure out, but there's lots of places that you can research this, including in my book, because we actually have a chart about acid and alkaline foods.
Mm-hmm. Well, Edgar Cayce was one of the early people who talked about maintaining an alkaline base in the body. And I've noticed that what Andrew Weil calls the anti-inflammatory diet is very similar. And also the cancer diet has often been very similar. So I think that it has been picked up, but sometimes it's called by different names.
That's true. But you know what? It's pretty clear that the best way to avoid inflammation. Now, it's very interesting because inflammation everybody recognizes as one of the major symptoms in arthritis, which is the focus of our discussion.
Mm-hmm.
But inflammation is also implicated in every single degenerative illness.
Right.
It's
right.
cancer, heart disease, diabetes, as well as things that aren't so devastating but very annoying, like allergies and asthma. Of course, asthma can be deadly as well. All of these are inflammatory-based illnesses.
Then, Alan, what are some other natural substances that can help prevent or relieve the symptoms of arthritis?
Well, we have a full and complete protocol in the arthritis book because, you know, that word arthritis, we have not even totally defined here on the show, but it's something that actually describes a whole group of illnesses. It's not a one disease. It's just something that means that you have some pain, really, is the bottom line. But there are many diagnostic tests that can be used to determine what kind you have, if you want to have a name to it. Is it something that's called osteoarthritis, or is it something that's called rheumatoid arthritis, which has more of an autoimmune response factor? What we have found is that almost everyone has a combination of both. An exception to that would be, let's say, a man who was athletic and had many injuries because he was playing football in high school. And then when he turns 50 or 60, he starts to really have a lot of pain in one joint, which got a lot of traumatic insults. In that case, it's often more of an isolated osteoarthritis kind of effect. But most often, it's a combination of autoimmune problems, nutritional deficiencies, and inflammation. Then there is the true rheumatoid arthritic kind of patient that will often have a genetic component, like someone who has ankylosing spondylitis. We know the specific kind of genetic inheritance they have that would cause that kind of spinal, the spine kind of fuses. Although, I have seen people be cured of every single one of those. And when I say cure, Carl, I'm not using that word lightly. Cure means that every kind of blood test that is done returns completely back to normal. For instance, there's no more elevated rheumatoid factor if the person has a rheumatoid-type arthritis. There's no more anemia, which is also commonly present with rheumatoid arthritis. There's no more elevated ESR. All of these things come back down to normal and symptom-free for 5 years. That's what I'm talking about. And that is truly a medical definition of a cure. Now, sadly, conventional physicians and conventional medical training teaches that diseases such as arthritis can never be cured. They teach that they can be managed. They can be managed by drugs, but not cured. That is incorrect information, and I don't think that should be shared with individuals. However, that is actually true if the person who has developed these diseases is not willing to change their lifestyle. In that case, they're going to keep their illness, and the best they could hope for is to manage it with pharmaceutical drugs, which unfortunately, as we described earlier, make the disease much worse over time. But like I tell my patients, well, if you don't want to change your diet, then you go ahead, do what you've been doing, keep what you have. It's okay with me, you know, and we can still work together and we can give you some exercises to help relieve the pain and we can give you some herbs. So to start to answer your question, herbs can be very, very helpful, both in completely getting rid of it 100% if you're willing to change your diet and lifestyle, or help manage the disease if you would prefer to keep the disease, which means that you don't want to change your lifestyle. You can still often integrate herbs. However, you do have to be careful at that point because there is something called herb-drug interactions. That means if that you're already on pharmaceutical drugs and then you want to also take herbal medicine, you do have to be careful because those two things can interact and may lead to problems.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm giving that as a heads up before we give the herbs that could be useful.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you, listeners, there are certain herbs called alteratives, and alteratives are often used to help detoxify the body. That means pull out those toxic waste products. Remember, we talked about that being one of the main causes of arthritis, a buildup of toxic waste products in the tissues.
Mm-hmm.
So certain alteratives that can be very, very useful include milk thistle. Milk thistle is an herb, and you know, you can pick it in most of the United States. It grows wild. One of the things we do, which we discuss in our book, The Natural Medicine Chest, is to teach people how to go out into the field and pick the plants that grow around their house,
mm-hmm.
because those are always going to be some of the best possible medicine that you can get because it's acclimated to your own system. So milk thistle is an herb that is known. I'll tell you what it does on a scientific level. It upregulates the detoxification procedure of the liver, and it makes the liver actually work more efficiently, doing its job of breaking down the toxins in the body, those that come from what we eat and also those that come from the regular normal metabolic processes,
mm-hmm.
of digestion of our body that forms toxic chemicals as well. And then people are familiar with things like air pollution, water pollution. These are where many of these toxins come from.
Mm-hmm.
Dandelion is another wonderful herb. Now, dandelion is a natural diuretic. And as you might imagine, a diuretic which increases urine output actually can help the body release buildup of toxic waste products that it doesn't need and it doesn't want.
Mm-hmm.
Dandelion is a great herb to start out with because most people know how to find dandelion right in their own area and know how to identify it. In fact, unfortunately, what most people do with dandelion is try to kill it,
mm-hmm.
and get rid of it,
right.
from their lawn. Meanwhile, it's one of the best friends they absolutely ever could find, because if we look at what's called the doctrine of signatures in herbal medicine, that tells us that a plant will tell us through its size, shape, formation, or color what it might be useful for. And think about this, Carl. What kind of strength of life force energy does dandelion have?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how much energy and time do we put into trying to get rid of it?
Right.
And yet we're not able to really get rid of it. In fact, we'll usually kill ourselves with all those pesticides before we kill all the dandelions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an incredible plant. And again, while traditional medicine, which dandelion is a traditional medicine, has been used for so many thousands of years with great safety and efficacy, and what we find is that science actually confirms its usefulness. In fact, there was a study done way back in 1944 and published in the very revered medical journal called The Lancet, where they compared using dandelion with Lasix. Lasix was a drug that was around even then, which was a diuretic. And they found that dandelion worked just about as well as the Lasix, but it had a very important advantage because it was a potassium sparing diuretic.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems with diuretics is that they pull potassium out of your system, and that creates secondary health issues, especially
mm-hmm.
if you have arthritis. People with arthritis tend to be very low in potassium, but yet dandelion is so high in its own potassium that it does not cause that problem. So that's a couple herbs that
mm-hmm.
I would start out with.
Mm-hmm. Good. Are there other things, then, that you would like to talk about, Ellen, before we talk about your book and your products and things?
Well, definitely. I would say looking at our own life and making decisions based on what is really going to bring about the greatest state of health.
Mm-hmm.
So that would include body-mind connection,
mm-hmm.
What we discussed already, learning
right.
stress reduction techniques and coping mechanisms.
Mm-hmm.
These include exercise every day, yoga, meditation, and it can be any kind of prayer, any kind of prayer at all. I have patients who are born-again Christians who are uncomfortable with yoga
mm-hmm.
because they feel that it's too close to an Eastern philosophy for them.
Right.
So it's no problem. I tell them to take their Holy Bible and read it in the car. Why I say in the car is what I tell them to do is get to work a little bit early, like maybe 5-10 minutes early,
mm-hmm.
shut off the engine and shut off the cell phone,
mm-hmm.
and just read whatever they find inspirational in that Bible, maybe even just open it anywhere,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
read a section, and then deeply contemplate it while they're doing deep breathing, even for 5 or 10 minutes. So these stress reduction techniques do not have to be Eastern-oriented.
Right.
They can be whatever helps that person. Let's say it's somebody who loves nature. I would say just go look at a flower deeply, deeply, not just running past it on your way to work
mm-hmm.
or on your way to pick up the kids from school, but deeply stop and contemplate that flower for 5 or 10 minutes. Any of these things decrease the release of that, what we talked about before, the cortisol,
mm-hmm.
which causes that fight or flight response and leads to inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
Think about what foods you're putting in your body. That gives you the greatest relief from inflammation. Increase your intake of all natural fruits and vegetables. Organic is best because pesticides in and of themselves are actually neurotoxins.
Right.
How they developed pesticides was after World War II, there were all these neurological war agents that were used to kill humans. And they had all that stuff left over and said, well, what can we do with this, you know, since we're stopping the war effort right now? And they decided it might be a good idea to spray it on our food. I don't know who really thought of that, Carl.
Right.
But if you think about it, the same companies, let's say someone like Monsanto, for instance, is a company who creates both pesticides and other toxins as well as chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a pretty good model there if you think about it
right.
from a business point of view.
Right.
But it's not such a good model if you are the recipient of both the pesticides and the chemotherapy. Then we're not such happy campers.
Right.
The point is, if we take responsibility for our own health and wellness, then we're less likely to be in that position. So thinking about what we eat. Now, my suggestion is always to plan ahead. Since we all have such busy lives, I truthfully have never once in my entire life eaten at McDonald's, and that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have used McDonald's. I have gone into McDonald's because I'll tell you what, they have very clean bathrooms, Carl.
Right.
And
do.
I travel all around the country, and I am very grateful. That's
mm-hmm.
another thing, being grateful about every little thing in life.
Right.
You know, I'll take the time when I'm on my busy lecture schedule, and I do lecture all over the country, and I might be driving somewhere or flying and then renting a car, not knowing where I am, and I suddenly, you know, need to use the bathroom, well, I'll stop into McDonald's, and I'll go, you know, thank God that this place is here, even though I would never touch the food, you know.
Right, right.
I will go in, and I will bless the place, always having a positive thing to think about each thing. Even though I feel that their food might not be the healthiest, at least they may offer salads and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
What I do is I bring my food with me everywhere I go.
Oh.
And since I'm on such a busy schedule, it's really not that hard because you have to put aside, let's say, about 2 hours for food prep a week.
Right.
You can cut up salads and leave them in glass containers that seal tightly. You can lightly steam a bunch of different vegetables. You can make soup and stew all healthy with your own organic ingredients and
mm-hmm.
then freeze individual ones. Now, of course, it's best to use fresh.
Right.
I do vegetable juicing every day, but when I know I'm going to be on the road, I do make extra juice and freeze it. Mm-hmm. Now, I knew Dr. Norman Walker and many of the people. I studied with Dr. Bernard Jensen. I, you know, studied Edgar Cayce's work in great detail. And all of them talk about using food fresh, which is mm-hmm. best. But I will tell you, after 40 years of vegetable juicing, that drinking frozen vegetable juice is about 1,000% better than none at all.
Right, right.
Even though if you can do it fresh that day, that's even better.
Mm-hmm.
So you have all this stuff ready to go, and then what I like to do is called grab and go. So have a little lunchbox ready and put all this organic, healthy food in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're running around to airports or to business meetings or to your children's soccer games, and I've done it through all of those. My kids are 35 now, but they used to go to, you know, I slept around to plenty of soccer games when they were little and dancing recitals and all that stuff. I took my food
mm-hmm.
and still do to this day. And not only that, it's also a whole lot less expensive, Carl.
Right. Yeah. Now, would you tell us about your books, products, and services, and how the listeners can reach you?
Oh, sure. Well, I don't actually sell any products directly, but I do have information. And if you were to go to YouTube and type in my name, that's Ellen, E-L-L-E-N, Kami, K-A-M, as in man, H-I, I actually have many, many YouTubes, which are little blips, most of our listeners know what it is now, which are informational, like how to use a neti pot or how to use ginger and turmeric for inflammation. Those are two herbs we didn't yet talk
right.
about,
mm-hmm.
but they are actually good, real COX-2 inhibitors. And you might have heard of COX-2 inhibitors before because Vioxx and Celebrex are COX-2 inhibitors, only they are deadly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, turmeric and ginger are COX-2 inhibitors that are extremely safe. They are truly traditional medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing that we can do. The best way to find me is always at my website, which is naturalnurse.com. That's one word, natural, followed by the word nurse, all one word, naturalnurse.com. And on there, I have many of my books listed. I've actually written 12 books, as well as a place to click on to find the radio shows. And I do 30 hours of radio a week, and I'm happy to be your radio guest today.
Thank
I'm
you.
Usually the host rather than the guest, so
right.
I do a whole lot less of the talking because I let my guests speak like you have done.
Right.
And we have about 30 hours a week of radio. Many of them are archived, so people can tune into them anytime. And we have lots of trips and field trips. Last week we did an outside medicine making workshop where we actually gathered wild, edible, and medicinal plants and made them into medicine. We take trips to Chinatown to experience what it's like to go to another culture in terms of looking at their traditional medicine. And we have many, many activities available.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you very much, Ellen. This has been very interesting, and I know it will offer a lot to the listeners.
And thank you so much for inviting me as your guest today.
You're welcome. My second guest is Cindy Holt, a registered nurse with a baccalaureate in nursing, certification as a massage therapist from Mueller College in San Diego, and completion of coursework for a doctorate in naturopathic medicine at Clayton College. She also finished programs in lymph drainage massage and guided imagery. Her career in cardiac care nursing spans 7 hospitals, a doctor's office, home nursing, and hospice care. She was the nurse manager of CCU at Pomona Valley Hospital for 16 years before finding massage therapy. She opened her own business in 1999 and worked for the Visiting Nurse Association in Claremont, California, as a hospice massage nurse. She has arthritis of the spine and never uses more than a rare ibuprofen, but keeps it under control with diet, exercise, yoga, and supplements. She will tell us how you can do the same. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Cindy.
Thank you.
And I look forward to hearing how you control your arthritis with natural means and without medications.
All right.
It's always nice to talk with a nurse colleague, and especially one who was born near where I grew up. I grew up about 100 miles north of Syracuse in New York State. So how long ago were you diagnosed with arthritis?
Actually, it was in 1985. I believe that would mean I was in my late 30s.
Mm-hmm.
I have been a horsewoman for many years.
Oh.
And I used to take frequent dumps off this one thoroughbred I had who did not want to jump nearly as much as I thought I did. So I injured myself a couple of times, and I believe that it was probably arthritis as a result of an injury.
Mm-hmm.
I had arthritis and bone spurs in my neck, thoracic, and my lumbar spine.
Oh. Hmm. And so what symptoms did you have, Cindy?
I had a lot of pain and numbness in my hands and also down my leg. Sometimes I'd be walking and my left leg would just give out altogether.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or it would be an excruciating pain where it'd be like, oh,
oh
my gosh. And,
oh.
Of course, you know, that was back when I was really, really into the Western model. And
mm-hmm.
I tried muscle relaxers. I tried anti-inflammatories.
Mm-hmm.
They did not really work, and I didn't like how they made me feel.
Mm-hmm.
I was head nurse of a cardiac intensive care unit at the time, and I did not like feeling foggy.
Right, right.
And it was actually a nurse colleague who went to massage school who suggested that she might like to practice on my neck.
Oh.
Who mm-hmm. got me thinking in other directions.
Mm-hmm.
And massage was extremely helpful, and later, so was acupuncture. I started my own business back in 1999, and I shared space with an acupuncturist.
Mm-hmm.
And that was helpful as well. I've learned many things since then.
So the acupuncture was successful, the massage was successful, but some of the chemicals were not.
Well,
is that correct?
I never thought that the muscle relaxers did anything. The ibuprofen would work, but of
mm-hmm.
course, you always worried about the side effects of
right.
of NSAIDs, and
right.
so I was reluctant to keep that up. I was really happy to have found something different.
Mm-hmm.
I've also done yoga. I do weight training, which
mm-hmm.
I found very, very helpful,
mm-hmm.
and I do a lot of low-impact cardio, too.
Mm-hmm. I think you mentioned that you also watch certain things that you eat.
I do use whole food supplements. I avoid inflammatory foods like sugar, that sort of thing,
right.
and red meat.
Mm-hmm.
I find inflammatory. If I eat something with sugar in it,
mm-hmm.
it isn't long before my hands will hurt.
Oh.
So I have a pretty quick reaction to sugar.
Mm-hmm. I've stayed off sugar for almost a year. Because I discovered that I had a yeast infection that would not clear up. And my doctor told me there was no such thing. But I had it. And so I found that eliminating sugar, taking probiotics, and doing some other things kind of took care of the problem.
Right, right. I did a year of probiotics. I suspect I probably had a yeast infection, although that was never confirmed by a holistic practitioner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're able then to control the pain and the stiffness with the interventions that you're using?
I am. I am very active for being 56 years old, and I really have very little pain anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm totally controlled.
Mm-hmm. And Cindy, as a registered nurse and massage therapist, do you work with arthritis patients and advocate lifestyle changes?
Absolutely. You know, I think one of the most important things people can do if they have arthritis is to try massage.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you relax the soft tissue, very often a lot of the pain goes away, and then you can increase your activity, which decreases the pain even more.
Mm-hmm.
And I also teach them about inflammatory foods and some other herbal or non-medicinal, non-Western medicine pain supplements that they could try.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever tried anything with maintaining your acid alkaline base?
Yes. The whole food supplements I take, the target actually is to alkalinize the body.
Oh, it is. Mm-hmm.
So, yes. And I also talk to people about the acid-base balance as well.
Mm-hmm. And also, you don't take glucosamine, chondroitin, or any of
those? That did not work for me.
No.
Now, you know, my understanding from an herbalist I worked with once is that glucosamine helps about 20 to 30% of the population alone.
Mm-hmm.
When you combine it with chondroitin, it helps about 40 to 60%. And if you add MSN to that mix and something like Boswellia or one of the other anti-inflammatory herbs, you'll get up to 80%, but
mm-hmm.
it still isn't going to be 100%.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting. Is there anything else you would like to add then, Cindy?
I think that people just need to be more curious about their medical conditions and what it is that they're unwittingly doing to contribute to the problem,
mm-hmm.
and maybe just be willing to explore non-toxic options,
mm-hmm.
not to totally give up on their doctors and Western medicine, but to maybe explore ways that they can actually become more involved with
mm-hmm.
their health care.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that 100%.
I knew you would.
Now, can you tell us about services that you have and also how the listeners could reach you?
Sure. I work in my own little office in Prescott Valley, Arizona, which is northern Arizona, and I do body work. I do the Ionic foot bath, which I've had.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I've had some
mm-hmm.
really amazing experiences
mm-hmm.
with that. I also do an energy work called Matrix Energetics, which is based in quantum physics and pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I do some flower remedies, and I also have a line of products that are a holistic, non-toxic. The company actually is endorsed by Dr. Samuel Epstein, who has been an environmental advocate for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud of the number of people that I've been able to help. I feel like that when you help someone find their own answers, that you really are empowering them and you're helping them beyond just treating them.
Right, right. I agree. Again, that's very important. So you do detox also then?
Yes. Oh, mm-hmm. yes. I think that's very important for a host of diseases, including weight loss. People who have trouble losing weight are often toxic.
Well, one thing I have discovered is, and right now I'm taking SEACT, which I take twice a year,
mm-hmm.
and it's helping with the weight loss because what I do is I take about 2 teaspoons, maybe 3 teaspoons of coconut oil every morning, and then I take a chromium picolinate, and then I do my 2-mile walk down the beach and back. And then I take the SEACT, and then in the evening I take the SEACT again.
Mm-hmm.
And I have lost, I'm losing again. I had stopped, but I've picked up and I'm beginning to lose again. So I think that the detox is helping with the weight loss.
Yeah, I had done a little research on that, and I had learned that when the fat, which is where a lot of the pesticides and organic phosphates are stored,
mm-hmm.
is really toxic. Your body is afraid to let go of it for fear it will flood the body with poison. So,
Well, I interviewed Bruce Fife, who is the coconut oil expert, and he's written many books, and he talked about using coconut oil as a weight loss.
Wow.
And it seems to work. I have another friend that I told about it, and she's lost 30 pounds.
Wow.
And she's using the combination of coconut oil and chromium.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's not chromium picolinate. It's the GTF chromium that we've been using. So she thinks that it's very good. Now, I'm going to mention to her when I talk with her again about doing the detoxing a couple times a year.
Right, right.
And what have you found best for detoxing? I know the foot baths are helpful.
Right, they're helpful. There are a variety of things that people can use. Simply going on a juice fast for just a few days
mm-hmm.
Is helpful for some people. Of course, using organic fruits and vegetables, if they're willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a number of products that you can actually use to
mm-hmm.
detox the system.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Native American healer I worked that was a teacher of mine in massage school, and his father had a whole line of herbs that from the Native American tradition that
mm-hmm.
work to detox each individual system, and you follow them in order. Some of that stuff gets really complicated for people.
Right,
there
right.
is a product called Detoxerate, which I think is very powerful. In fact, it's very powerful, and you have to be careful when you use it.
Right, right.
So I would suggest when people are going to do that they talk to someone who knows.
Right. Now, would you tell us again, Cindy, how people can reach you?
Sure. My website is, there's no www, so it's just HTTP,
mm-hmm.
and then I, and Newayes, newayes.com/HHH.
Mm-hmm.
That's for whole holistic healing.
Oh. Well, I appreciate this very much, Cindy.
Oh, thank you.
It's been very interesting, and I'm sure the listeners will learn something from what you've had to talk about.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Cindy.
Uh-huh.